Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
We'd like to take this opportunity to once again welcome everyone in to our regular Thursday morning broadcast, which comes to you live and in living color on your radio dial right here at WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we come to you each Thursday morning here at 9 a.m. in the morning. Kind of a little hazy morning here. We had a little bit of rain off and on about all night, I think, here in Clay County last night. We have been blessed the last couple of days with some rain. I don't have to water the flowers maybe for a day or two, but we're thankful for that. And we're grateful that we're able to come to you here each Thursday morning and remind you that we'll be rebroadcast again this evening at 6 p.m. And we want to thank the folks at Three Star and also the Chamber of Commerce and all the great folks that advertise on this show that make this possible. And we, like I said, we come to you each Thursday morning. And this morning I have three gentlemen with me that we really don't know what we might wander off on. I told them to come by and we just have a little get-together in front of microphones, and that being two gentlemen that have actually done some MCing here once or twice. Mr. Kevin Dawson is back with us for this morning for a little while, and Dr. Doug Young from over at the Chamber, and, of course, myself, Thomas Watson, who I think is maybe the first time I've ever introduced myself here. But it's great to be here. It's great that... to be able to gather here at the old courthouse, and we get to look around and see that we've got some windows off, getting them restored, and hopefully going to get another grant or two, get some more done. But we will, I guess this be a good time to just take a little short break here and work in a couple of words from our sponsors, and kind of, we might take about, 30, 40 seconds to organize what we're going to do and come back. We'll be back just in a few minutes. You know, Kevin...
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Just sitting here this morning before we came online, Kevin and I were sitting here. We both like to reminisce about Clay County, among other things. And, we started off here today. We were talking about shoe cobblers and... you know, how many of them still existed? Remembering Mr. Sonny Adams, who had a shop here in Salina a number of years ago. And we just kind of got around. And I said, well, Kevin, why don't we go over about the county line where we come into Clay County and just take a little tour down memory lane between the county line here in Salina. I know Dr. Young and Kevin, we're both a little bit older than Kevin, but...
A lot older.
some things you don't have to interject every time.
Sorry about that, Dad.
But, you know, we look down at Hermitage Springs, you know, like, well, I know I'm now about three-quarters of a century old, and Dr. Young's, he's getting a whole lot closer to triple digits than he was about 80 years ago. But we you know, we were just kind of, I don't know, I guess we were sitting here reminiscing some things. And, you know, looking down at the Hermitage Springs area, coming into Salina in 1960. And one of the first things, I'm not sure Dr. Young can remember this, and I can remember this, you could get into Clay County then riding a Trailways bus. Dr. Young, do you remember anything like that? I'm going to get you off just a second. The Trailways bus that came in here from Nashville every day.
Rode it several times. And then it messed up. It didn't come to Salina. It stopped in Red Bullet. You had to hitchhike from Red Bullet, and I wasn't much of a hitchhiker. My dad had to come get me.
Well, you know, in my memories, I can remember my grandfather, the first Mr. Thomas Watson, who lived in a little town called Rocky, Oklahoma, and he decided to come and visit his son and nephews here in Salina, and I can remember him getting off, this would have been back in the 50s, I guess, getting off the Trailways bus in front of our house with his little cardboard suitcase to come and visit us, you know, and those are things that, you know, that I guess a lot of our folks here didn't get to enjoy that, but we had regular bus route service.
It just seems to me, Thomas, that at one time we had a bus that came from Nashville this morning, and the bus driver spent the night in Traveler's Lodge and then took that same bus back to Nashville the next morning.
And
as another bus left Nashville and came up here, and then he did the same thing. We had one leaving Nashville every morning coming to Salina, and one leaving Salina going to Nashville.
Right, and I believe, if I remember correctly, that you could even order things sometimes, like your order from Sears and Roebuck.
Mm-hmm.
If it was something that the mail carrier couldn't bring, that the Trailways bus would deliver packages to people, folks.
Well, when I had the clothing store over here, I got a lot of my goods on the bus. You had that big bin underneath, and I could call a wholesale house in Nashville and have it the next day.
Kind of like what we've got now with UPS,
yeah,
and all those,
yeah,
folks, and FedEx, except the buses did.
And we still have the buses, U-carts.
Yeah.
Any of us can get lined up to get on that that run. They make a run every day to Nashville and go to the airport for less than it cost you to park a car.
And, you know, looking back, too, I can remember back in the 60s, the middle 60s, that... one of the first bus trips that I ever made, and I don't know, most folks don't get to make this trip anymore, but those of us of a certain age back in those days registered here with the draft board, and when after so many months, you would receive a notice telling you that the Trailways bus would be coming through here and to pick you up here in Salina, and they would transport you down to Nashville to the reception center down there and do a physical examination, do testing and all those things. But, you know, if you talk about a nice ride, in those days, you'd get on the bus here, on this bus here in Salina, and you would make the trip to Nashville, but that trip to Nashville involved going over to Cookeville, and then I think from Cookeville down to McMinnville, then from McMinnville down to Manchester, Tullahoma, down that way, and back to Nashville finally. So that was, you know, in itself was a great tour of Middle Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, those were kind of things that, but we were looking at some of the business. The business at Hermitage Springs at that period of time, I can't remember all of them, but I know we had feed mill, we had a store, we had service stations, all of those things. I can remember, you know, some of the names. Most of them I can't, though. But, you know, then we, as we come on through, we had a little community of malls that had, what, five or six stores there.
Always a restaurant.
I think Kevin knows some of the history there because some of his forefathers owned some of the businesses over there, Kevin.
Right. Yeah, well, I've had the opportunity through the years to talk to our local barber, David Bilbrey. And David's family lived in Moss, and I've heard David talk about, you know, his father, who was a barber before him, actually still being cutting hair at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. The barber shop would still be open in Moss. And like I say, a couple of restaurants, and yeah, the Heston family, the other side of my family, every one of those guys, my grandpa and his brothers, were businessmen. I mean, they didn't really work for anybody else. They worked for themselves. But, yeah, there'd been a lot of things. And, of course, you're from that neck of the woods, too. It was a bustling place.
I think I think there was a tractor dealership, maybe two tractor dealerships, farm equipment, grocery store. But speaking of Mr. Bilbrey, I think my first haircut, he had his barbershop in the basement of a house there, and I can remember that the barbershop was out front, and behind that was the coal bin in the basement there for the coal wood to heat the stove. But, you know, that was there, and I think maybe there were three restaurants at one time, and I know of at least two barbers. Mr. Ed Wood was a barber there, and like I said, Heston's Garage, they were just a booming community there.
And back then, you needed a lot of barbers because men wore their hair short. And now you go a month and sometimes 3 months before you get a haircut.
Well, you know, I think one of the greatest inventions as a youngster that I can ever remember was electric hair clippers. Because I can remember my Uncle Willie, he was kind of the barber of the family, and he had a set of clippers that you'd move the handles with your hand to cut hair. And it probably cut about half the roll and pulled the other half. So electric barber shears were a tremendous, tremendous advancement in those days. But then, Kevin, I know you're in Salina. We, like I said, we looked around and we talked about the little shoe cobbler shop here. And another thing that we kind of, that you talked about, and that was television technicians here in Salina.
Yeah, you know, TVs, like everything else, any kind of appliance now, anything from a regular TV or a regular phone now, you know, not a cell phone, everything's throwaway now. And we had a couple of deliveries made here recently, and that got me to thinking, you know, but I can remember in the, would have been the late 70s, early 80s, and you confirmed probably another person, there were at least four people in Salina who still worked on TVs, you know, back when they were as thick as they were wide, or thicker, you know, or deep, however you want to look at it, back when they still had picture tubes. You know, you had at least four, maybe five people who were repairing TVs, at least for a partial living. They may have been doing something else, and a couple of them sold TVs too.
Right.
And I can remember buying my first TV. Now y'all are about 10 or 15 years further, so you've got a different recollection. I remember buying my first TV, and it cost, I had to make payments on it. I think basically, you know, it cost $450. And what can you get now in a TV for $450?
I mean, covers the wall.
It covers a wall for $450. And that was a 20-something inch, and that was measured diagonally, if I remember correctly, TV, and it cost, you know, $400 or $500.
You well, know, now we have a TV for every room, so we have lots more TVs. So where are the TV repairmen? What's happening is the TVs just don't tear up.
Well, if they do tear up, you just get rid of them.
Throw them away.
You know, it's not the old days. You know, I know we're talking about the TV. I can remember the radio repair stations here in Salina. I know Mr. Bob Parsons up the way here had the Western Auto Store. If your radio shot a tube, you'd pull the tube out, take it up there. He'd have one in stock.
And Leland Kirkpatrick down here.
Leland Kirkpatrick down here on the
Leland
side.
Leland learned how to do that in the military during World War II. He was a radioman on an airplane.
You know, there's nothing we could go from there. A lot of those guys that were in World War II came back here, and they became really electricians, electrical technicians. They said worked on radios, and a whole bunch of them wound up setting up the first radio stations here in the Upper Cumberland area. You know, a lot of the guys that helped found stations like WLIV, WTKY.
Now, my number one memory is a great friend of mine, Freeman Swan. Freeman had a lot of foresight. He saw that we were down in this bowl here in Salina, and we got very poor TV reception because the signal couldn't come over the mountain to the west of us.
He didn't drop down here.
And so he put in a cable system in the 1950s. And when I talk to people today and tell them that we had cable TV in the 1950s, they kind of look at me like, are you really telling me the truth? And he started off with just one and possibly two stations.
Right. Well,
WSM and Channel 5.
That's all we had for a long time.
Yeah.
It might get Channel 2 on the good. Y'all remember when Channel 2 and Channel 8 swapped?
Yes.
One was public TV and another. You know, that was... talking about Freeman too, Doug. I can remember... I just got out of college, started working at the old newspaper here. It had been the early 80s, and we had a local business person who was well off who had one of the old satellite dishes. You know, they were
right.
10 feet. Only person anywhere around that we knew, and I did a series of stories about satellite TV and interviewed Freeman as part of that. And Freeman said, oh, one of these days we'll have these satellites. They're no bigger than the hubcap of a car. And I thought, now, really? Well, Freeman knew that. You know, he had that figured out already way before that became commonplace, before we all had one of those either out in our yard or on top of our house. He knew that was coming.
I had the same conversation with him on a little different slant, Kevin. We were talking about pay TV back in those days. And I was trying to get out of Freeman. Now, how are we going to pay for TV? Will we have a coin slot on top of our TV sets and somebody will come around and get it? He said, oh, no. They'll give you... I was asking him about one of these big receivers, you know, when they first got them.
Right.
He was going over to Ralph Ryan's to put one in, and it cost as much as a school teacher made in a year. And I asked him, how will teachers ever be able to afford one of these? And he said, yes, the day is going to come when they'll give you the receiver and charge you for the programming. And he told me that back in the 60s. And that was before, of course, he was reading everything that came down about cable TV back then. But that was an interesting phenomenon that they could charge you for the programming.
Well, you know, Doug, looking a little bit later down, you know, this was truly a truly innovative thing here in this little town. But, you know, we look down at the innovation. Look at the innovation that we made in 1990 here in the Upper Cumberland when we had full fiber access to basically, all of the county buildings, all of the schools here in this area all those years ago. And now we were still hearing on the news every night about folks that are still waiting for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have been on the cutting edge of a lot of things, but it seems like we have never, I'll take that back because our phone company has really, really made use of that idea. That's the basis of their entire operation now is that fiber optic network, which we've had for quite a while here.
Well, that network we had was interactive TV all the way from York Institute in the east to Hermitage Springs in the west. That'd be about 75 miles, and we could actually teach courses back and forth. But you and I both tried to convince the other superintendents we needed to hire teachers for that. They kept wanting the Spanish teacher at York to teach Spanish at another school. Well, the Spanish teacher at York already had a full load and couldn't do that. But we could never convince the powers that be that we're onto something big here, and we could be having TV in the classroom just like we did during COVID, and
we did.
And we did.
Okay, let's take a little short break, come back. I know there's a couple more things, and I think we probably know Kevin's got some serious business here, and I know Dr. Young has, and I try not to get too serious any time, but we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We have been kind of reminiscing. I'll tell you what let's do, guys. Let's start down here on the corner, Dr. Young and Kevin, and let's just walk around the square in Salina and pick out the building that you'd be walking in front of. Why don't you do that?
All right. We'll start out with Jimmy White's law office. That was Jenkins and Darwin. And prior to that, for close to 100 years, it was W.L. Brown and Son. I owned it at one time, and I had a clothing store there. And next door to it was Clark Drugstore, and I thought the other day I got four dips of ice cream that cost me $11, and I could go in the drugstore next door and get four dips of ice cream for 20 cents. So times have changed. I'd get off from high school, and when I just weighed 120 pounds, and I wanted to gain weight, and I'd head to the drugstore if I had an extra quarter and get a milkshake. And then right next door to that was Mr. Hale Dale's store. It was kind of a general store, and in the later years it ran down, and he didn't have much merchandise in there, but he opened up every day, and he and Miss Daisy welcomed people to come in and talk. Then next to it was the variety store. It was a variety store for a long time under several different management, and at one time,
Mr. Mo Denning at one time, I believe.
Hugh Ellis Hayes put out a W's hamburger joint there. W's recipe and pool hall. And so that building served a lot of purposes. Then next to it was Mr.
Mr. Burnett?
Estelle Burnett's clothing store.
And
Mr. Burnett had Levi's, and I tried to get Levi's and could never get them for my store.
He had the franchise.
Then next door to him was Joe Burnett's furniture store.
And I believe they were brothers.
They were brothers. And
I remember that. As a matter of fact, too, I remember I think you were about to reference that. I remember when that burned over there and was never rebuilt. That would have been, what, 73, 74, somewhere through there? And how many buildings, would that have just been two buildings that is now a vacant lot, or would there have been
no.
a third?
A building was added back. W.L. Brown and Son and Clark Drugstore survived the fire.
They were the only two, I believe, that
survived. Then a brick building was added to it that Johnny has his antique store. You know, we've got two stores there, side by side, and then a vacant lot.
Okay.
But the variety store and the Burnett's stores were on down from that. And then on down the street from that.
Back up a little bit off the square. We had a little store there, didn't we? Mr. Sonny White's grocery store.
and Mr. Sonny Adams and Mr. McLaren had a service station down there. And then
Mr. Hunley
had a...
Now, wait a minute, guys. Are we're on the north side of the square now or the south?
We're
okay.
On the north side.
North, right behind me, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
And one day I was standing out in front of the store leaning up against a... parking meter, and we used to have parking meters too, and that caused us to have plenty of parking downtown, because if you let that little red flag come up, Johnny Sue Butler was there to give you a ticket.
Yes.
And I was talking to somebody there and looked down the street toward Hunley's, and I saw a spark, then a little fire, and the next thing I knew, that building was burned to the ground. And in that building was several businesses. At one time, in addition to being a service station and a car repair shop, was also a barber shop there with several barbers. And then it turned into an auto parts store. And now, I'll stop with that side of the square and go off now with the north part of the square. Okay, I'll keep going. My Uncle T.F. Kirkpatrick had a store that lasted for a lot of years. We have lots of memories of pickled bologna and be able to go in there. And,
possum sardines.
And
that was that Lyle's father?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He married my great aunt. And then I was named after Lyle. My first name is Lyle. But that's a... The way they pickled that bologna was interesting. I jumped on Lyle one day about he'd lost the recipe to pickle bologna. And he informed me that he hadn't lost the recipe. The bologna had changed. They were putting a different kind of preservative in it. And now it had to be refrigerated. Back in some point in time there, it did not have to be refrigerated. They were just hanging up out there and slice it off. And
bologna was basically like country ham.
I mean, you could just leave it out, and that's it.
And usually they'd have a big butcher knife about a foot long stuck in the wall at the door facing and reach up and get it, pull it down, slice your bologna, and stick it back up in the wall.
My mother had a hoof cheese cutter, and I don't know whatever happened to it, but, you know, these big round blocks of cheese, you'd set that down in this cutter, and the knife on that thing would rotate around, and you could pull it down like a paper cutter and slice some cheese off as thin or as thick as you wanted it. And then they had radios, and they sold refrigerators. They were truly a general store back in its day. Guns. I know I bought a pistol there once. But had about anything you wanted. The next door to that was...
No, wait a minute. There was a legend I've heard. Was there ever a bowling alley in the basement there?
I don't know of it.
Seemed like I'd heard that story somewhere along the line, that there was a bowling lane down in the basement there. I just wonder if anybody had ever heard that besides me. Go ahead.
That'd be interesting. Next door was Rich's department store. Now, remember, I've just accounted for, so far, three clothing stores. And I'm not done yet. And the next door to Rich's was the restaurant, and it's been under several owners down through the years. I think it was built in about 29 when the bridge was finished in 1929. Is when some of these guys moved up from Old Town and built them some buildings. And so the restaurant's been there a long time. The next door to it was Miss Stevens' house. Now, I don't know who owned it before Miss Stevens. But,
was it a boarding house? Or just
she lived in it. I don't know.
Okay.
It may have been a board, particularly back when they were building the dam.
Yeah.
Because anybody that had space, my grandparents rented a chicken coop. their farm was inside of the dam up on the 53, and they rented out a woodshed upstairs and downstairs and the chicken coop. All those guys needed just a place to sleep. And my grandmother would board them. She cooked all these big meals for them. And I remember the ice man coming, and they had an ice box. But going on around the square, there was this big, tall building. My first memory was Dr. Ebert had his medical office there. And you went up these big steps. Then I remember Lewis Lawson had a dollar store there. And I don't know what else was there, but I'm sure there were several businesses.
What about the ice house? You remember it?
Yeah.
It was right?
That was on the back street over there, wasn't it? The locker?
Mm-hmm.
Where you could rent. Back then, people didn't have deep freezes, but you could rent a freezer space to freeze your stuff at the locker. And you had a lock box and a bank. You could lock your food up and go get it when you wanted it. And let's see that.
Mr. Mayfield's auto dealership.
All right, but let's go back when it was Mr. Mayfield's theater. Now, a lot of people don't remember that was a theater. But if you'll remember the way that building was structured, they could, when it became a Ford dealership, they could park the latest new Ford in that covered area. Well, that was where you got in line to get your tickets. And I just learned about that within the last 20 years. I never knew that there was a theater there. And then on down the street there, Brother Smith lived, and there were several people lived down that street in big houses. Now, Jerry Fox's house was on the square somewhere, but I'm not sure which side of the square it was on, and it was moved up to its present location.
I think it's over somewhere about where the bank is now.
Okay.
Right in there.
But this looked entirely different back in those days. So I've got you on two sides. You guys finish up the other two.
Well, let's see, going around there on the corner, at one time the post office was there.
Yep.
I don't remember when the post office was first constructed there, but the post office was there, and next door to it, I think.
But before you leave the post office, I got a story to tell about that. Those buildings on down through there were wooden buildings, and they caught on fire and burned all those buildings. But my Uncle Plum Dale, another uncle, stood out there with his arms crossed and said, "Well, boys, when it gets down to my building, it'll stop." And his building that he owned was the post office, and he rented the post office. But when he built the building, he put a firewall in there. And sure enough, when that fire got down there, it did not burn his building. And then they built those buildings back, and that's the reason you've heard me talk on this microphone before about the fact that you go to Gainesboro, Livingston, some of those towns, and you see these three-story buildings and ornate architecture, and we don't see much of that here because in those towns, those buildings were built back in the roaring 90s when there was lots of money in circulation. When we started building Salina up at the end of the bridge in 1929, the Depression hit. Then these fires came along and destroyed, and we wanted to build those businesses back in a hurry, so we didn't build architecturally designed buildings with taking aesthetics into consideration.
We just got back in business as soon as we could.
We just very practical.
We're going to quit right there today. And we're going to talk about one more thing, another historic fire we had here that started, I believe, down here on the corner about where the flower shop is now. Is that where the big fight started? That
was the fire I was talking about that got down to Uncle Plum's.
And that started in there. How did that fight get started now?
I'm going to stay out of that. There's a whole lot of different stories about that.
I know it made national news, I think. A couple of gentlemen got in a fight, didn't
yeah.
they?
But I don't know what happened. It was an old Pan Am building.
Yeah.
But that building was a block building. And my dad had his barber shop in there. And there was a restaurant in there one time. And at one time, that was the bus station. So evidently, when the fire was over, that building wasn't damaged so badly that it couldn't be used. But then the other buildings down the street there must have been wooden structures, and they were completely destroyed.
Yeah, I know that story made the local, and local and the Nashville papers and the national papers. Of course, it mentioned the names of the two gentlemen that were fighting. But we need to take a little short break. And I'm going to read my birthday for today, and then we're going to come back and try to conduct some serious business here for a few minutes. Celebrating birthdays today, Nikki Gass celebrated the birthday on the 2nd, and so we've got an anniversary here for Tina and Landon Melton on, I guess it looked like July the 1st from their family and friends, their 21st anniversary, so happy anniversary to them. And also, Miss Candace Bird will celebrate a birthday. Her Aunt Liz Brown called her name in. And let's see, looking on down our list, Miss Lila Watson celebrated a birthday on the 3rd. Paige Strong celebrating a birthday this week. And Miss Brindley Barlow, I'll mention her. We're not going to let her put her in the drawing. She actually lives down in Macon County, but I had to put her. And then also Miss Kristen Clements Rich celebrating a birthday today down at the 4-H office. So we will use our system here in a few minutes, and we'll pick out a winner of today's birthday cake. And with that, we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
TriCanny Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We'd like to take this opportunity once again to welcome you back here to WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country to the Clay County Corner. And I used to say we were in the corner room here, but they've corrected me that it's really not the corner, even though it has four corners in it, but there is a little hallway between here and the front wall there. And there's all kinds of history in that wall about how somewhere along the line we went downstairs and dug out the holes in the ground and put toilets down there.
Yeah.
And had to move the doors inside to an inside wall we had built.
Wonder how they got the drainage in at that time.
You know, I don't know.
That'd have been a piece of work.
They probably dug a real deep ditch and
had to run a tunnel.
Yeah. But ingenuity.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they were used to placing that material underground, but not send it somewhere else.
That had to be a tunnel.
Kevin, what we got on your program over school or anything else this morning?
Well, I guess I could recap something that we did last month, part of June. We had a summer bridge program, and we had a small group this year. I think it'll grow significantly next year, a group of incoming freshmen who we introduced to CTE, basically, and that is career and technical education, the parts of high school and post-high school, post-secondary, that deal basically with hands-on things. And both you guys as longtime educators are familiar with that, but we gave them a basic intro to all that. They heard from all the CTE teachers, and there's six different classes basically that are offered to students at Clay County High School, some in conjunction with my new employer, if you can call a year's worth being new, TCAT Livingston, Tennessee College of Applied Technology. Heard from all those teachers from the six various programs. We also took them on tours of area industry, visited our three industry partners. We made some cultural stops along the way, the courthouse here being one of them, and we appreciate you, excuse me, giving the kids a tour here. And we visited TCAT Livingston for an entire day of that four-day program, but had just a fantastic week with the young folks, and I felt good about what we had done during the week, simply because at the end of the week, those kids offered to help with the next year's program. So I feel like they had a pretty good week, and they'll be invaluable. There'll be nobody to recruit students like slightly older students. That'll work out really well. But we had a great week.
Well, you know, Kevin, you went down into the bowels of Del Hollow Dam.
We did get to go to the dam, and that was literally our first activity of the week. Kids got out of whoever's car brought them there and basically got on the bus, and we headed up there, and it was a great way to start out the week. That's a step back in time and just a fascinating trip. It really, really is.
Is it still leaking water down inside?
Well, it's down in the bottom. There's no doubt about that. A little moisture there. And, you know, it's interesting. You get down in the very bottom of the, I guess you'd say the bottom of the dam, as far down as you can go, and it smells exactly like the fish hatchery, if you've ever visited the fish hatchery. But there's a reason. The water that's coming out from the other side of the bottom of the dam is what goes into the fish hatchery. So it's a very unique smell, not unpleasant at all, just different. But I'll tell you what. That was a long trip down in to as far as you can go, and an even longer trip back up. By the time my watch gave me credit for six flights of stairs, and I'm telling you, by the time that sixth flight got there, if it had been a seventh, I would have had to stop. My calves were wore out. But a great trip. The kids really enjoyed that, and they enjoyed every stop that we made. I guess you'd say debriefed them at the end of the week, and I said, what would you guys change? I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. And they said, do it the same way next year. So, and they'll help with it.
Okay.
So that'll be
one
great.
One thing, you know, Kevin, I can remember, I know Doug, you may remember too, that there's a place down there close to the Keeneland property down there where water used to come out, and that used to be the story was that was actually a little drain pipe. That if excess water from whatever surface water, whatever got in the dam, that's where it drained out. Have you heard that story?
There's another story that the dam's leaking.
Yeah. And that
it
actually,
wasn't planned.
But actually, it was all the way down there, nearly to the Neely Creek Road, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Had a drainage pipe down there, too.
Well, we could have a whole whole program on Del Hollow Dam being built and all the various things since then. That's quite a story in itself.
Well, of course, I know most folks don't realize now that up in what's now called Weir Mountain, there's an old rock quarry up there, that the limestone rock gravel actually came from that quarry, and they hauled it from there over to the dam.
Right.
But Kevin, I noticed, knowing some of the young men and young ladies in that group, that in that incoming freshman group, talking about some, not what we used to call the vocational track students, but actually some of the cream of the crop students were there. So some of the top scholars from their class are now enrolling. And I think our folks coming through now realize, even if you're going to be go into the medical field, whatever field you're going to go into, it's great to have the skill where you can pick up a MIG welder now and work and do things like that.
Right.
That, if you're not planning on making a career of it.
And that program was this year, and Lord willing, we'll have it two more years, was made possible through the welding grant. So we know we'll have funding for it for two more years. But just really look forward to growing that program with the help of the of the students. And toward that end, Thomas, you mentioned, you know, you had a great cross-section. CTE classes are not for a small select group of folks. 95% of the students, my understanding, that will go through Clay County High School, I'll repeat that number, 95% will take at least one CTE course. Now, CTE, well, again, whole program's worth, but that's everything from ag and welding and, well, a lot of health science and a lot of the older traditional, I'll do air quotes here, two programs and some new things. You know, computers have two different programs that deal very directly with computers, and they're different. One is working with computers. One is working on computers.
Big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. But got some other things, too, but I know Dr. Young has got a new workforce item that he needs to talk about, and we may be able to play back and forth off that.
All right. Dr. Young, you're up.
Okay, I've got several things here. I think you've had Sandra Wicks on to talk about the senior citizen program. Got anybody out there listening that would like to learn how to do Facebook on a tablet or on your phone or on a computer? Get in contact with Sandra, and she's got some, I understand she's got some high school students down there teaching the older folks how to do that, and that's an interesting approach. The second thing I've got today is we have just closed out our grant program for downtown. This program provided 75% of the cost of improving the exterior of our businesses downtown. And so we were able to do $144,000 worth of improvements downtown in the last 3 years. And that happens so slowly sometimes we don't notice that it's even happened. And I still have some people telling me, oh, our town looks so bad. They just don't remember how it looked 10 years ago. We've had three downtown grants now, and very few buildings downtown have not been touched by one of those grants.
Well, you know, so many of us are used to coming in and we talk about renovating something. We think you start down here at the other end of town and finish up down on this end 6 months later and everything's all bright shiny.
Yeah.
Those signs and storefront things, they went on one at a time.
Yes, very slowly. And they actually started back in about 2009 when we got our first downtown grant. And they've continued now for about 12 years. And hopefully we can continue that. They've told me that they can't do it, but in this last grant, we asked to be able to go up East Lake Avenue with the grant, and they turned us down on that after we got the grant. I thought we got it, and then we got it. When we got the grant in, the scope allowed us to go up Brown Street all the way to the four-way stop. But maybe we can apply again and get East Lake Avenue and give those folks an opportunity. Back in April, Thomas, we had an asset-based planning activity through 3-STAR that was conducted by Jody Sliger, who is the director of the 3-STAR program statewide. And participating in that were all of our businesses were invited. Everybody on our email list was invited, and especially the Clay County Joint Economic and Community Development Board, along with the Clay County Industrial Development Board. And coming out of that were a lot of goals and objectives for us to start working toward that were perceived to need some help in this county. Then it was narrowed down through our vote to three activities that we'd start working on in this next couple of years. First was create a committee to develop an actionable plan to establish a welcome center and public restrooms at the courthouse. Now, we got that in the list, but you and I have been working on that now for several years, and we'll keep on working on that. You've got a grant coming down now, I think, hadn't you, for about $10,000?
Yes.
And you're working on the windows?
Right.
And so we're actually working on that one. And then another one, Donaldson Park, was seen as a need, and we need playground equipment, walking trail, and all those kinds of things up there. So we got a $50,000 three-star grant, and spelled out in that will be the court area, to renovate the court area, to add to the playground area, and to restain and renovate the pavilions. And hopefully we'll be able to pick up a couple more grants from the Department of Health that'll allow us to do even more up there.
And I know coming up on September the 25th, it's officially called our Cumberland Run Car Show at the Park, but we're looking at turning that into a full-day celebration down there of the reopening of the park with food vendors down there, maybe some music, entertainment, just all kinds of things still in the planning stages. And I know that we're kind of based on what we did here around the courthouse, we're still going to be giving away 100 T-shirts to the first 100 people that show up. And we've got some major sponsors that we'll be talking about later on. But we're hoping that it's going to look like one of the first major events there in the new Solana Donaldson Park. And hopefully it's going to help. But that's also tied in with the renovation of the windows here at the courthouse. But go ahead, Dr. Hughes.
Well, my wife and I started gathering our baseline data for this grant. We're going down to the park. So if you see us going down to the park very often, we're going down to count cars and to prove that we have done what we needed to do with this grant. We need to increase the traffic down there. We need to have more cars from Clay County and other counties and out of state as well. And so we'll be working on that. Then the final recommendation coming out of that planning session was to work in workforce development. Programs that can be implemented to increase the labor participation rate. Now, 2 weeks ago, we had a group to come from the governor's office looking at our participation rate in Clay County, and it's low. We've got workers out there who aren't participating, but we also have a high unemployment rate. But in conversations with Mayor Reagan and in conversations with Kevin and I had a lot of conversations about this. There are also lots of jobs, and we don't really know how that's being calculated. And we're in the process of finding out just how they calculate that unemployment rate. We know that there are entry-level jobs available, but there are also some skill-level jobs available. But what we've got is a disconnect, and we're trying to join the two together. And the way we're doing that is to... If you're unemployed right now or you feel like you're underemployed, if you'll come by the chamber and fill out a generic application form, then we'll be able to share that with the employers in the area. We'll scan that and share it with them. And if you need assistance in filling that application out, we're there to help you do that. So if you're unemployed, we're just hometown folk here, and we'll sit down and help you get that application done, and then we'll distribute it for you. That way you don't have to go around to 20 different businesses and fill out 20 different applications. This way you fill out one application, we'll send it out to the employers, and if you have the skills that they're looking for, then they'll contact you. Instead of you contacting them, then they'll contact you. That's a little different approach in trying to address this problem. But it'll work if people use it. And I just encourage all you unemployed and underemployed people to come out the chamber and take care of that. And I know we've already got response from some of the businesses. They're excited about it. They're just anxiously awaiting applications from us when we pass it on. So... maybe we can make a connection there that will be good for all concerned, Thomas.
You know, and I think I saw the other day, and I may have mentioned it to you guys, but on a study that was done by a group that said that it looks as if Clay County will have about a 40% increase in available, employable jobs here in Clay County in the next 10 years. And I don't know what they're basing that on, but I do know that they said that during the COVID period that we actually picked up 1.5% new jobs in Clay County during that period of time.
Well, right now, Thomas, we have a high unemployment rate, but it's 5.1%, I believe, and that's... We would have killed a few years ago for 5.1%.
Back when we were about 14%?
Yeah.
Well, to put that in perspective, guys, too, the raw number is this. Let's throw the percentage out. The raw number, the latest raw number is this. That's 150 people. Now, I'm rounding up by just a couple. 150 people who are searching for work. Well, I've looked at these numbers off and on for years and years. Our average is always somewhere between 125 and 150. I mean, that's just where it's at. But there are jobs available, and that's a big issue for us. We do have a low, I've crunched the numbers myself, a low labor participation rate, one of the lowest anywhere in the area, and that's what we got to improve.
Right. And now something big is happening come Saturday. The federal funding for unemployment compensation is going to end in the state of Tennessee. So the income, if you're unemployed and drawing unemployment compensation, part of that will be cut at that time.
And that more than likely will make a bit of a difference.
Yes.
And okay, now we did get a designation the other day too, Dr. Young, that where we were one of the counties that remained on the distress list for the state of Tennessee, and we were actually down, I think, in last year's estimate, we were one of the last counties in the state of Tennessee or Middle Tennessee, and now it's gone up to, 8 or 9 in the entire state again.
Well,
you want to talk about that just a second?
We were at 15 when Governor Lee came in, and he's made this put this in the forefront of his administration. He's working hard with the distressed counties to get them off of that distressed list. And we had 15, and now we're down to 9 and still working on it. But, again, Kevin and Mayor Reagan and I have had a lot of discussions about that. We know what factors they're using, but we don't really, I'm not sure I agree with the numbers. I think there's something haywire about that. I know some other counties that are in a lot worse shape than we are, and they're not on it. So something's happening with the statistics there, I think.
Well, do you think maybe that, I mean, not being disparaging, but that we have a percentage of our population that really are not going to work or seek jobs no matter what?
Well, some like me. I'm not seeking a job.
Retirees.
The group from the governor's office that was here last week, what they were using to look at us was people from age 16 to 64. Well, of course, there are 16-year-olds going to school. I don't know.
Yeah.
They couldn't explain to me how that was being figured. And then a lot of the 64-year-olds now are retired, and they're not seeking employment. A lot of people who are on state retirement programs, teachers and those folks, they retire at the end of 30 years. And if they got their job when they're 18, they're just 48 years old.
Right.
But they're still counted in the job market when they may not be looking for a job.
Well, and a number we uncovered a couple of years ago, and I know we're headed down the home stretch here, is the fact that the average person in Clay County is 10 years older than the average person in the state of Tennessee. The average person in Clay County is 47. The average person in Tennessee is 37. So a high percentage of our population is past that threshold. You know, we've got a pretty high rate percentage of folks who are 65 plus. But, of course, a lot of folks... Flip side of the coin, Dr. Young was talking about, a lot of folks are working way past 65 now in a paying job, you know.
And I do know that we have, I think, like a generational thing right now where a lot of folks, as soon as they become eligible for retirement, either through their job or through their Social Security benefit, as soon as they're able to start any type of retirement, they are retiring from what they're doing. And a lot of them are looking for a new career or something,
right.
But a lot of them are also looking to leave what is called the traditional workforce, aren't they?
Yeah, and do something on their own.
Gosh, I think we're about to run out of time. It's time to do a little drum roll here. And the winner of today's birthday anniversary cake are Tina and Landa Melton, who are celebrating their 21st wedding anniversary this past week. So if you'll come over by the chamber office, I believe we have some of the cards there for them to take over to Dairy Queen and get their ice cream cake. And with that, I guess it's time we shut the doors down here, get everything put up, and put our minds to rest for a few minutes. And we will see you again here next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, good Lord willing. And may the good Lord bless and keep you until we do that. And with that, good day, Clay County.